trust many of you, or almost all of you, will know the story of David and Goliath. Am I sure? Yes. Wow, yeah, my nephew said yes. So he's my nephew just visiting us from Singapore. Yeah, I think all of us are very familiar with the stories, right? And not only when we are as kids, we pick up the story, but at the same time, I think there are a lot of lessons that we learn. The past few weeks, I thought, it'll be good for us to look at some familiar stories, right? Sometimes familiar stories are, we just read, but without really understanding, the spiritual values or the depth of it. Last week, we were looking at Naaman's story, the healing of the leper, right? How God was so wonderful, how God used the young girl who was, we don't see her name in the Bible, right? And so how God was able to use that young girl. So David and Goliath, it's a very famous story, I think. It teaches us a lot of things today. And I just want to review some things that you might have actually heard, right? And maybe it's a good reminder for us as Christians to see, what is God teaching us, in this life. Let's take a moment to pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the joy of knowing you, the joy of worshiping you. We thank you, Lord, that we can always call upon you as Abba, Father. Lord, we call because we need you, God. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll help us as we worship you, as we listen to your word, Father. We pray that, Lord, from this familiar story, sometimes, God, these stories are too familiar to us. Many a times, God, we lose its meaning. We pray that you'll speak to us and help us, God, remind us again. Shake us, God, and move us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you agree with me that life is full of battles? Yes? Yes, yes, I think yes. Life is full of battles, various kinds of battles, right? It can be small ones and it can also be big ones in life. If you realize, each and every moment we are, even whenever we are even making a simple decision, it's a battle, right? We want to decide, what to do. If our boss calls and says, this is what is needed of you, it's a battle to say yes or no. We don't want to offend, right? Sometimes we feel obligated. So life is actually a battle. There are many a times we tend to, when we decide, we are just struggling within ourselves. And we look at scriptures very carefully. Scriptures also speaks about, life is a lot of battle. When Paul writes, look at the terminologies Paul is using, right? Many a times Paul uses the military terminologies. He talks about soldiers because not only soldiers were very common in those days. I think Paul sees life is a battle, right? In other words, it's a battle that we're actually fighting. It's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, right? We are hearing two voices, and how do we respond or how do we react to these two voices? And so today, I thought it would be good for us to look at, some of the battles, that we fight. At the same time, how do we go through the process? David and Goliath is a wonderful passage, right? It talks about David was a small boy. Probably scholars say that he was 17 year old. Any 17 year old? One or two is 18 years old here. Can you imagine? It's around and young boy. Many a times when we are 17, we think they do not know much. Let me tell you, they know quite a lot of things. Goliath was a strong guy. He was a warrior, almost 9 feet kind of a height, right? Very strong, able, right? Fearful guy. And can you imagine whenever Goliath was just coming, the Philistine was coming, the soldiers were just running away. They were afraid to, meet this man, this great soldier. So when I look at this, we realize sometimes, we fight the wrong battle, right? Sometimes we think this is the battle that I need to fight. So I think some of the things that David is teaching us, how do you recognize, how do you know that these are the battles that you need to fight? And what's our motive behind? And where do we go from there, kind of a stuff, David is teaching us. So it's a very familiar story, and so let me not narrate the story again, right? And so we will look at a couple of things from this particular passage, right? Firstly, when I look at this particular passage, I realize, you know, there is a motive involved in this passage. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a long passage. I just gave a few verses to be read today. The father is, Jesse is sending the son and says, you know, bring this bread to your brothers, because three of the brothers of David joined Saul to be soldiers to fight against the Philistines. And so David goes there, and he goes there and he sees the Philistine, the Goliath. He comes as a strong man, just challenging people to say, come, right, have war with me. And if you win, we will be slaves to you guys. We will serve you. Right? And if you guys lose, you are going to be our slaves. So that was the words of Goliath. And so David is here and he's running. Can you imagine? 17-year-old boy. He's so curious. He wants to know what's happening. Right? He sees his brothers are running away. He sees the Philistines are just coming forward. And he's just wondering what's happening. Come on, my brother should be fighting. They're just running away. What's happening? So, you know, he's so curious. He wants to know what's happening. And he realizes, right, that they were afraid of this Goliath. He hears from the conversation. He speaks to people and realizes, you know, that Goliath is a strong man, right? He's challenging the armies of Israel, and none of the Jews or the Hebrew people were willing to go and fight. And so when he was talking, what's happening in verse 29, if you look at verse 29, it says, now what have I done? So his brother comes and tells, right, you know, what are you doing, right? And the way the brother is talking to him, you know, he's saying, you're a proud kid, right? Go back, take care of the sheep. And so this is the response of David. I'm looking at the American Standard Version. He says, and David said, what have I now done? So he's telling his brother in a nice manner. He said, is there not a cause? In other words, when you look at the word very carefully, Hebrew word very carefully, sometimes in certain translations, in NIV, we use the word, you know, is there a word? You know, you might understand it differently. The way David is saying, right, what have I done? And he says, is there not a cause? In other words, he's saying, I'm here, and I believe, I'm just amplifying the thing, that there is always a reason. I'm not here by accident, right? He's saying, I'm here, there might be a reason, right? Not only to hear, or maybe I'm here to learn something, to understand, or maybe beyond that. And that's the way David is mentioning in this particular passage. There is always a cause. In other words, you know, David is teaching us something. You know, he's teaching us that we need to reflect on our motive. In other words, David knew that when he was there, he was not there for an accident. A coincidence was happening in his life. If I'm here, if I'm in a situation, there might be some kind of a reason. Maybe God wants to teach me, right? God wants me to reflect on certain things. Oh, God wants me to face the challenge. And that's what David is trying to teach us from this particular thing. Now, he could have easily said, I'm a 17-year-old boy. Why should I? It is the problem of the elders. It's the problem of the older people. If there is a conflict, it's not my problem. Can you imagine a 17-year-old boy? Always stick to your mind, it's a 17-year-old boy, right? He wants to play some games, right? He will mind their own business, kind of a thing. But he's asking, there might be a reason for me to be there. In other words, you know, I think one of the great things that we learn about David is, you know, he realizes that there might be a motive here. There might be a cause here. You know, sometimes I ask myself, why did he need to fight? Because there were thousands of people, strong, able, powerful army. The armies of Israel were so powerful. He could have said, you know, I'm nothing. They are there. Why should I? They are strong enough to face, right? But then if you look at the passage very carefully, you know, he says, have you seen the giant? The man asked. And so David is talking, right? And then to this particular person who was just around. And then he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And so David is saying, right, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Firstly, you know, he realizes there would be a motive. If I'm here in a particular situation, God has a motive. Maybe to teach me or get myself involved. And then the motive here, he says, I would go and fight with him. You know why? Because he says that it's not me that the whole world will know. We realize in the earlier passage that I said, Saul said, if anyone goes and kills this man, what would happen? The family will be exempted from income tax. Can you imagine? Huge money will be given to them. On top of that, right, he will be able to marry the daughter of Saul. And that was the thing. Good perks that was given. I think David was not so concerned about this because 17-year-old boy, he's not 20-plus to think about marriage and all that. But I think his motive was not the rewards. These soldiers were running. They wanted to fight because it was a great reward, right? You can be dwelling in the palace, the son-in-law of the king, exempted from all taxes, your old family, wonderful perks, privileges that's given, right? They were running and they were just running off. But David's motive was totally different. It's not my personal agenda. It's not my name. It's not, I want to prove who I am, that people will know. Let me tell you, many times in our life, particularly when we are in leadership, this is our problem, right? We want to push through our own agenda. We want to have a say. Because we know the church. I grew up in this church. I'm born in this church. Right? David could have said, because I have more power, I have more say. That was not his motive. I want my own agenda to go through. Let me tell you, my friend, that is a struggle with many Christians today. We want to bulldoze our ideas. It might be good ideas, I'm not saying no, but it should be God ideas. But David's motive was very clear, that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. It's not about me. It's not about proving my strength, because I'm a 17-year-old boy. I don't have much strength. I'm not God involved in wars. I'm just an ordinary shepherd. I do not know much about fighting, but I have a good motive, and I want the whole world to know the God of Israel. I think that is important. One of the spiritual lessons I think that we learn whenever we are facing challenges or difficulties, as problems in our life, we need to know, what's my motive? Am I pushing through my desires, my wants, my things, or do I want to glorify the God that I love? David said, I want the whole world, not the Philistines alone, but the entire world to know that there is a God in Israel. Can you imagine? A 17-year-old boy has a different perception about God, right? He did not take God lightly, because that's the kind of understanding. Can you imagine? A 17-year-old boy had about God. He wants his God to be known by people. I think that's important. I think in every battle, I think your motive is important. Is it me? Or is it God? Is it me to be glorified, or do I want God's name to be glorified? Even in your relationship, even in your marriages, even you go through difficult times in your life, sometimes you want to push through, you want to prove a point. You need to know whether your motive is right. Will God be glorified? Will God be known, right, through these difficulties or challenges or even battles in life? Let me move on, right? Secondly, when you look at the passage, very familiar passage, as you know, right? Know your means. In other words, David could have said, look at the passage very carefully. Look at the words very carefully, right? When I look at the word, sometimes it sounds very arrogant, right? David said to Saul, right, the king, he said, your servant had been keeping his father's sheep, right? When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Looks very arrogant, very proud kind of a guy. Maybe that's how the brother also perceives him, right? And he says, when he turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Wow! He's not making up any stories, right? Sounds very arrogant. Sounds very proud kid, right? But if you realize, but that's the impression that we get. But if you look at the words he's saying, because he says, because he has defiled the names of the living God, the Lord who rescued me. His motive was right. His strength seems like his own strength, right? He's not saying, don't underestimate a 17-year-old boy. He's saying, it is God. The means was God. God is able to do. God is able to give me the strength. The God who rescued me, right? I think that's important, my friend. Right? If we live in a world and time, I think we always told, right? Lean on your strength. The sky is the limit. I'm not saying no to all this, right? Yes, we should have some kind of good self-esteem in our lives, right? But we should always realize that we are limited people. And David knew. And he needed God. And if you realize the passage, right, he talks about God. I want the whole world to know about God, right? It is God who saved me. And he goes to Saul. He talks to Saul about God. Can you imagine? A 17-year-old boy. He's not thinking about taxes, because I don't think so. He was really having a regular income, right? Probably, you know, his worldview is totally different, but I think the motives was much more clear. He wanted to glorify God, and he also knew that God is able. What's our understanding about God, my friend? We sing songs, right? Today, there is no one like Jesus. We sing songs just saying that God is able, God is powerful, God is wonderful, but do we really trust him? We say, God Almighty, but do you really see him as Almighty? I think that's important, right? David saw God. To the eyes of the brothers, he was an arrogant guy, but I think David knew his God pretty well. You know, let me tell you, when you go in God's name and you say, no, I've leaned on, we'll always have challenges. I see two challenges here. Right? The first challenge is from your family itself. What is the elder brother is coming and saying, right? His elder brother heard him talking to the man. He was angry. What are you doing around here anyway? He demanded, right? And so, I know that you're a pride and a deceit. You just want to see the battle. So in other words, can you imagine the brother is saying, you know, you're a proud guy. You shouldn't be here. He's facing opposition from his brother. Secondly, you know, King Saul is saying, don't be ridiculous. Right? Probably I think he was smiling or laughing when he was using these words. Don't be ridiculous, he said. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy and he's been a man of war since his youth. In other words, Saul is saying, If I put it in today's language, he's saying, if I were you, I would not fight because I'm going to lose. If I were you, 17-year-old, I'm not going to fight because I know I'll be lost. Right? I think that's the kind of challenges that we face. Right? And we will see how David is actually dealing with this. So, many times I know people will say, you don't have the strength.
small boy, right? And many times the opposition can come from the one much more closer to you. Maybe if they really are concerned about you, and I'm saying, I'm not always judging it, you know, but there are moments you need to discern to see whether what they say is true or not. Right? And let me move on. Thirdly, you know, what is happening? He knows his motive. It is for God, right? It's not about the rewards I'm going to get, because I don't need this. I just want people to know the God of Israel. There is a God in Israel. Then he knows the means. It's not my strength. Sounds arrogant, but he says, no, no, it's God. It is God who gave me the strength, right? And thirdly, if you look at it, it's important for us to do this, right? You need to recognize your enemy. Sometimes, some people are not your enemies, but we think they're enemies, right? They are there to help you. And sometimes when people come and, you know, to encourage you, sometimes the way they approach you might not be so nice. It might sound judgmental. Sometimes we think, you know, they are just my enemy. They are just after me. You know, maybe they're not, right? But here, David recognized the enemy. I think in our spiritual battle, in our spiritual confrontation, it's important for us to discern, you know, or recognize the enemy. Is it helping me? Is it destroying me? Right? Is it, you know, bringing me much more closer to God? So here, David recognizes that Goliath is the enemy. And so he wants to go to destroy the enemy. So I think it's important for us to understand, right? Sometimes in our enemy, you know, can be two things. If you look at it, he recognizes the enemy. Firstly, it can be sin, right? The Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." You know, Satan, like the roaring lion, and Peter talks about it, you know, he comes so that he will able to tempt us, that we will draw us away from God. Like sin is always there. If you read the life about Cain and Abel, like what it says, right? Sin is crouching at the door. It's always there to deceive you, to take you away. If you realize there's always temptation, right? There's always temptation. Sin. And so Paul's talks about it. And one of the greatest temptation is yourself. Right? So the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Someone says the toughest battle you'll ever fight in your life is a battle within yourself. There's always a battle that's going on in you, my friend. Sometimes it could be pride. If I use in a very colloquial language, right? Show off. You want to show off who you are, right? The self is one of the greatest enemy. You want to prove, right? And I think people who are in leadership, including myself, need to be very careful, because we might exert our authority, the so-called authority. I'm not saying we shouldn't have authority, because the Bible speaks about, you know, leaders having authority. If it's exerted in a wrong motive, right? The self. And so I think you recognize the sin that is always around, because Satan wants you to just fall back to sin. He brings you the desires of the flesh. At the same time, I think you need to be very careful with yourself, because, you know, if you realize, you know, you're always communicating with yourself. Even now, you're communicating yourself. Yourself is telling you whether to listen or not to listen, what to do today, where to go. I think that's what David is teaching us from this particular passage. Recognize your enemy. Make sure that you know your enemy. Not everyone who comes will be your enemy, my friend. I think David knew pretty well, and this is my enemy, because he's defiling the name of God of Israel. Right, and so this is the kind of, you know, problems that we do have. Lastly, let me finish with this. Wow, there's nothing there, my slide. I did save my slides. Well, last point is no point. The last one is, if the slide doesn't appear, it's okay. I think the last one is, you need to rely on the power of God, right? In other words, he relies on the power of God. He relies on the, on God's power. In other words, do you realize, David, what was happening? Saul called him and said, maybe he called him, son, come here, right? Wear my military garment. Let me tell you, when I was in the army, one of the toughest thing is when you go for runs and all that, you are actually literally carrying 20 kilos of things, include right from your helmet to your boots. It is made of steel. Even your rifle is pretty heavy. We have knives, we have water bottle, right, filled to the brim, and we have quite a lot of stuff, and you run 20 kilometers. With 20 kilos of things you're just literally carrying with your haversack kind of a thing, loaded with all your rations. Can you imagine? Saul calls him and says, this is not the way you're going to win, right? I want you to wear my helmet, right? My garments, the military garment. David is wearing, can you imagine? 17-year-old boy who's not ready, he says, it's too heavy. I'm not used to it. I can't, right? It's going to be difficult for me. And so what he says, right, he realizes, he takes it away, and he knew pretty well what was his strength, the 5 stones, right, the sling. And he knew that God has given him the strength. He was not just wearing, because someone gave me the helmet, this is going to be protective, right, protecting me, but he was just using the stones, small, smooth stones. If you read scripture, it will tell you. And also the sling. And that's it. Right? And I have God with me. He was very familiar, and he had used it before, and he knew pretty well he can actually count on it, because he's almost like an expert. He can just use the sling to win the enemy. Let me tell you, today we have, when you look at scripture, can you move my slide? And so he says, in this verse, he says, I can't go in these. I'm not used to them. He took them off. He picked up his 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his, shepherd's bag. Let's, next slide. I think this is what, Paul reminds us. Let's look at the next slide. Right? Yes, yeah. I think this is the thing that we are familiar with. One of the things that we are familiar with is God's Word. Let me tell you, my friend. Today, we are familiar with things. Sometimes they say, do 5 things or 7 things. You will succeed in life. I'm not saying no to all this. Let me tell you, as a Christian, I think one of the strong things is God's Word. We are familiar with God's Word. You can trust God's Word. You can rely on God's Word. Another thing is prayer, because prayer defeats, my friend. Prayer is having a conversation with God. And prayer talks to us about faith, relying in God. David could have said, okay, maybe that's the ideal uniform for me to wear to go into a battle. But no, one of the things, when I look at it in a very spiritual way, I'm used to it as a Christian. If you go to any church, right, this is what you're going to hear. Read God's Word. Pray. Just love Him. Just have faith. Hope in Christ. And so Paul reminds the church. He says, put the full armor of God. He talks about the Word of God, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit. We need God's Spirit to work in our lives, not our own strength, my friend. We are familiar with things, and we are used to it. Just draw strength from these things. Draw strength from prayer. Draw strength from God's Word. Ask God to fill you with the power of the Spirit. Familiar things. Let me tell you, you can win the battle. And David, was able to win the battle, because he did not try the seven things or the five things. You might have heard this over and over again, but let me repeat it again. If you're having a battle in your life, start praying, my friend. Because prayer moves things. It moves the heart of God. Let me tell you, my friend, when you are weak and feeble, cling on to God's word. The word of God gives you strength. Very familiar things. We have easy access to it. Ask God to fill you with the power of the Spirit, because God is always there to fill us, my friend. He loves to fill us. Just familiar things. Talk to your brothers and sisters who are in the church or who care for you. Seek counsel, familiar things. Talk to them, right? And let me tell you, you know, God will speak to you through them, familiar. And that's what David said. I'm not used to all this heavy stuff. I'll use the things. This is very familiar. I'm going to pray, but before we pray, when you are in a difficult situation or maybe facing a battle in your life, in your family, in your relationship, in your career, right? What is our motive? Is it, I want to do this thing to just to glorify God? It's not about me, my agenda, right? It's not just to show how powerful or how powerful I can be. I just want to glorify God. The means, it's not my strength. It is only God. I think David is teaching us simple lessons, but they are very fundamental for our life. Recognize your enemy. Don't recognize the wrong person as your enemy, because God might have sent someone to help you. But sometimes, many times, when people give you good advice, good counsel, we see that they're very judgmental. We recognize them as your enemies. Recognize your Goliath. Recognize your giant. And one of the great giants is your sin. It's crouching at the door, right? And yourself, that's the greatest, because it's always a tussle in our life. And lastly, I think, rely on God's power. Simple, but fundamental. Word of God, you have access. Prayer, access 24/7. God's people, access. Use them, and God will bless us. Let's pray.